Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Erev Pesach. This is Siman Kuf Yud Gimel 113 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to be looking at five basic concepts today, and that is the davening on Erev Pesach, chametz and matzah on Erev Pesach, Osir activities on Erev Pesach, the Tanis Bechorim, the fast of the firstborns, and Erev Pesach Matzos. Note that these topics are generally applicable in a regular year, not when Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, where the halachas differ quite substantially in many ways. Let's jump straight in. Davening on Erev Pesach. What is different about the davening on Erev Pesach? So there are three things that are omitted, that are left out on a Erev Pesach. Number one is Lam Natzeach, means Mor David, that's Psalm 20, which is usually said towards the end of davening on a Shacharis, that is left out. Also Kel Erech HaPayim, which is a prayer said just before the Torah is taken out on a Torah reading day, that is also omitted. And also Mizmor LaTodah, which is Psalm 100, which is said in the middle of the Psukei Dezimra, that is also left out. Why are these left out? So being as it is a partial Chag, Erev Pesach was the day that they brought the Korban Pesach on. And therefore it is a happy time, so the prayers of Kel Erech HaPayim and Lam Natzeach, which are sadder, these are more supplications of being at a time of need and pain, are left out because it is not a time of need and pain in the same way. Mizmor LaTodah is left out because it represents the Korban Todah, the Thanksgiving sacrifice. The Thanksgiving sacrifice came with 40 loaves of bread, and some of them being chametz, some of them being leavened bread. And therefore, a person would not be able to bring a Korban Todah on Erev Pesach because there would be not sufficient time to eat the loaves of bread, because it would go to the time where a person would not be able to eat bread and therefore was not brought. And as a function, that the prayer which represents it, which is Mizmor LaTodah, is omitted on Erev Pesach as that sign. We now move to the next concept, which is chametz and matzah on Erev Pesach. When must I stop eating chametz? One is allowed to eat chametz until the end of the fourth halachic hour of the day. When must I rid myself of all the chametz in my possession? It must be by the end of the fifth halachic hour of the day. That's when one should have burnt the chametz. The sale of chametz has taken place, and one does bittul. So therefore, any chametz which I've sold is not in my possession. Any chametz which I still have, I've burnt. And any chametz I don't know about, I have been mevatel. So that should all happen before the fifth halachic hour of the day. A quick reminder, how are the halachic hours of the day measured? So the Vilna Gaon understands they are measured from sunrise to sunset, and you divide that amount by 12. Around the time of Pesach is just after the equinox usually, so it's pretty much similar to the hours of the day, a little bit longer usually. But the Magen Avraham understands it is actually from dawn to stars out, divided by 12, which is therefore the hours are generally a little bit longer, the halachic hours. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, interestingly enough, seems to paskin like the Magen Avraham. However, most of the general practice seems to be like the Vilna Gaon. This is important because the Magen Avraham's times are slightly earlier because he measures from dawn to stars out. Therefore, it actually ends up the fourth and the fifth hour end up being a little bit earlier in the day. So it's worthwhile noting that if one wants to be machmir for the Magen Avraham, which is quoted by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Can I get benefit from chametz between the fourth and the fifth hour of the day? The answer is yes, and that's I'm allowed to even sell it between that time or give feed it to my animals, but no one is not allowed to eat it after the fourth hour. Let's move into the next topic. The topic is prohibited activities on Erev Pesach. What melacha, what work is allowed to be done on Erev Pesach? So from chatzos onwards, from midday onwards, again, midday is measured between sunrise and sunset divided by two. So that's the middle of that time. That's 6 hours in, 6 hours out. At that point in time, one is not allowed to do melacha. And the reason is because that was the time when the Korban Pesach was brought in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And that was a time of festivity. It was a festival. And therefore, one does not bring the Korban. One would not do melacha. What types of melachas are allowed? So the Kitzur says that it tracks the halachas of Chol Hamoed. So a person can drive. A person's allowed to do is not a cook, but a person cannot do other melachos like writing or other working in the office. That should be avoided. One can ask a non-Jew to do work during that time, but one should not be working oneself as well. Can I take a haircut on Erev Yom Tov? This most people are not aware of, and that is one is not allowed to take a haircut nor cut one's nails after chatzos, after midday. That's a real big thing, because for a lot of people, they're preparing for Sfira, and the Sfira is going to start right after Yom Tov, so they need to have that last shave or haircut, and they'll set up their hairdressing appointment, their barber appointment, after Chatzos. It is incorrect. It cannot be done after Chatzos. What happens if I forgot to cut nails or cut hair before the midday? So if one forgot, one is allowed to cut nails, but one is not allowed to cut one's hair. Many times it has happened to me that I have forgotten or did not get there in time because Erev Pesach is so crazy. And that just means to say there's no cutting hair. You don't get that last shave before Pesach. What about matzah? Can we eat matzah on Erev Pesach? The answer is no, one is not allowed to eat matzah the entire day of Erev Pesach. What about children? Children are also not allowed to, you're not allowed to feed it to them if they know about Yetzias Mitzrayim, which means from a pretty young age. What about something which has crushed matzah? So let's say a knedel, matzah meal. So one is allowed to have something which has matzah meal in it until the beginning of the 10th hour of the day, the end of the 9th hour of the day, and that's so that a person should not eat substantial things later on in the day, so one is able to come to the Seder and eat matzah latte avon and enjoy the process of eating matzah. We move to our next concept, that is Ta'anis Bechorim, the fast of the firstborns. Why do firstborns fast on Erev Pesach? So we know that in Egypt, the night before everybody left Egypt, there was a terrible plague which killed all the firstborns in Egypt. It was only the Hebrew firstborns who were saved by a miracle, and as a function of that, the firstborn Jews therefore fast on Erev Pesach as acknowledgement of the fact that they were saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time. What happens if you have a person who is a firstborn of a mother or firstborn of a father, but not the other way around, so it's a second marriage? So in that case, they still must fast. That is, they are still considered a firstborn in that respect. What about a child who's born first, but is after a number of miscarriages? That child is still considered a firstborn and needs to fast. What happens if the child is not bar mitzvah? A child before bar mitzvah doesn't usually fast. So the father would take his place and fast on their behalf. What allows a person to break that fast? So the halacha is that if a bechor, if a firstborn child, hears a siyum, they make a siyum on a mesechta, or they learn Tanakh be'ion, there's a siyum that they are at, and there's a suras mitzvah, they're allowed to eat the suras mitzvah, and once they eat the suras mitzvah, they may then eat afterwards. That means to say that the firstborns, or the father of the firstborns, needs to actually be at the siyum and eat from the breakfast. Now, if a bechor is fasting, are there any additions to the tefillah? The answer is yes. At mincha, if a firstborn is doing the full fast, they would say aneinu at mincha. But if there are a few firstborns at the mincha, one of them and they're fasting, then one of the firstborns should not lead the davening, because they should not say aneinu in the public response to the Shmoneh Esrei, because it is the month of Nisan. And finally, last concept today, and that is Erev Pesach Matzos. There are some people who are very careful, the Mahadrim, people who go after mitzvahs and they try to bake their matzos on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And that the reason for that is that it was the time that the Korban Pesach was brought, and as a function, they want to have the matzos at the same time that the Korban Pesach was brought. So what extra precautions need to be made? So a person has to be careful, because if there's going to be little bits of dough that fall down and fall on the floor, and it was scraped off, and they weren't baked, so therefore the process of fermentation will continue, because baking kills the process of rising. But these little pieces, these small little pieces that might have been wiped off, are not going to fall on the floor. A person needs to verbalize a specific phrase, which is, I am going to mevatel, I'm going to annul all the crumbs that will fall out of this matzah making. And the reason for this is so that that person is not going to have chametz, which is created on their property. So a person is mevatel, because now after the zman ibur chametz, a person is not allowed to have any chametz. Now, what does one do with the water that one washes the kelim for? Remember that every 18 minutes they wash everything off, they wiped everything down. So let's say you use water to wash out the different instruments that are used. What do I do with that water? So that water needs to be poured down the drain, because it should not be allowed to pool on a wooden or on a stone floor, because otherwise it has flour mixed with it and the fermentation process will start on one's property. One should flush it away, one should put it down the sink, and that way avoid any fermentation happening. These extra precautions are to avoid the case of there being any chametz made on one's own property on Erev Pesach after that time when Bir Chametz is necessary. With this, we conclude some of the very fascinating halachas that arise on Erev Pesach. Have a wonderful and meaningful